Welcome to the Gatecast, presented by Alan and Mike.
Lucy, I'm home.
I am not Lucy.
Oh, you're right. We'll just upload a computer virus into the mothership.
I was going to do my living room like this.
Well, sir, my recommendation is that anyone attempting to leave the mountain should be shot on sight.
Hello, good morning, and welcome from a slightly punch-drunk phase to Gatecast episode 89.
Good morning. Forgive Alan, he had a very late night watching Battlestar. And indeed, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Exactly. Welcome to Threshold.
Aside, the title brings me in. Quite a fun science fiction show, which I enjoyed, which is pretty much strangled at birth.
Threshold. Yes, it was. Starring the great Peter Dinklage, who's currently appearing in Game of Thrones.
And the equally great Brent Spiner, who anyone who's had a vague knowledge of science fiction has seen, not only in practically every episode of Star Trek Next Generation, but also as an apparently sacrificial lamb in ID4.
Well, he was a bit of a mad scientist, and he got a bit too close to the aliens. What can you expect?
I'm not convinced he was dead at that point. There is a bit, I say one of my favourite lines in ID4, actually. The president goes, "Is that glass bulletproof?" "Hell no." And I'm kind of thinking, you know, they don't know he's dead. They just decided to pepper the thing randomly with bullets. And if the alien hadn't actually killed him, he certainly didn't survive that, because they put like 5 holes in him.
Well, that's one of the risks you take, being the typical mad scientist. Occasionally, the people with the pitchforks come along and really don't care about what you were trying to do. You're in the way.
So if you're the assistant, you already have the bag and the escape route planned.
Exactly. Every Igor knows the way to the trapdoor.
Yes, master.
I mean, speaking of ID4, Adam Baldwin.
He was in Threshold?
No, ID4.
Oh. You're presuming I'm actually awake.
No, that's true. Some allowances must be made. It's actually noon at the time we're recording, so it's not as if it's early.
It is when you got to bed at 4:30.
Well, I went to bed at 3:15 and I got up at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, but you're used to it.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't drink.
There is that, yes. Transatlantic BSG watching with alcohol.
With alcohol and a 6-hour time difference. Never fun.
I spent most of the week listening to one episode of Flicks that covered all 10 years of Smallville.
Hi, this is Kevin Batchelder. And this is the Saturday B-Movie Reel.
Do something. Shoot it! Shoot it!
That about describes it, yeah.
All right, everybody stay here.
We look specifically at the Sci-Fi Channel's original movies. You know the ones. The ones that air on Saturday night.
Be known throughout the ages as an instant classic.
We need a bigger gator!
Limb cutting, yes. And blood squirting from...
Flying limbs, I called it in my notes.
What could go wrong?
We look on a regular basis at the movies as they come out, and since there have been over 200 of them, we do go back and look at many of them that are now out on DVD. By this point, I had completely forgotten any semblance of seeing if this actually makes any sense from a plot point of view. So come on by, get involved, and have some fun.
Check us out at SaturdayBMovieReel.com.
Our future depends on it. Make it safe.
I have to say, I am seriously impressed by both the image and the audio quality of the Blu-rays.
What, BSG?
Mm-hmm. We watched the show while audio chatting on Skype. But because she's in American format, she keeps going ahead of me every few seconds.
Yes, that's always a problem. As we very well know in the early days of the podcast.
So what I was suggesting to her, she wants to try Dollhouse podcast.
Yeah.
I don't have Dollhouse. I could probably pick it up on DVD for half nothing now.
I mean, I picked up seasons 1 and 2 on Blu-ray for about 18 quid. That was in an offer, of course, a few months back. You should record them. You know, say that's another podcast you could do.
No, because there's often long, long gaps until someone goes, ooh, and, oh, you're a sinker. Okay, tell me when they reach this bit. I have discovered that the start button, unlike every other disc I've ever stuck into my PS3, the BSG Blu-rays do not pause when you press X.
Oh.
You have to press the play button, i.e. start, to pause it. And it is a toggle. Apparently, in closing, and at the risk of spoiling somebody who's never seen it, she already knew about Boomer because she said she'd seen that scene.
Oh, what a pity.
But she was asking me stuff like, oh, is such and such a Cylon? I'm like, refusing to answer. Are you there? Yes, I'm there. You answering my question? No, I haven't, am I?
No, you got to say, there's some things you want people to experience first time around, given the chance. Because you got a kick out of it, so you want them to experience the same thing.
Because I was insanely avoiding self-spoilers. I'm almost tempted to make her wait 6 months after the end of season one, given what happens at the end of season one.
Again, yeah, if you don't watch at broadcast or and pick it up on DVD, you don't get any of the full summer hiatus. Yeah, it'll be back in 3 or 4 months, or being that it's on the Sci-Fi Channel, 6 or 8.
Anyway, I is, and I was doing this quite a lot last night with countdowns. I even gave her a countdown in Irish.
Oh, nice.
Which I won't inflict upon you.
Good. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but... And no doubt I'd be going, is that it? One, are we there yet?
As I've said in the past to several people, possibly to you, we didn't make the spelling and pronunciation of the Irish language the way it is just to confuse the Sassenachs. That's simply a fringe benefit. I believe I've described Welsh to her as, can you lend me a vowel?
Yeah, it's cracking language, that is. Sounds beautiful.
More
but
of a cracking language.
Yeah.
Shall we commence to start? That seems to have woken me up a bit.
Right.
I've got the old vocal stylings running.
Everything's set to go.
And I will be informed how much of that you left in.
Well, you could listen.
I could, but she'll listen for me and she'll let me know.
Listening by proxy.
Indeed, I'm not sort of... If I went editing, I'm not sufficiently interested in the sound of my own voice, despite appearances, to actually listen to it again. You know, I mean, if I run out of podcasts, I just bung about 6 escape pods on and that fills me in.
Yeah.
I'm not a regular, but I can listen to the damn thing. Okay, I have transcript up. I have show up. I suppose we should kick off.
Oh, such enthusiasm.
Right, 3, 2, 1, clicky. Fade from line. Fade in 2. Previously on Stargate. Bang.
Yes, he keeps getting shot in the back. Position is
my first prime. And by Jack in the front.
Apophis is dead.
Gods cannot be killed.
Yeah. Tilt went through a lot in those couple of episodes.
I've always liked Jacob.
Wow, that was quick.
Yeah. It's a very brief...
No message.
As a psychologist. And
yeah,
here's Jack.
Dr. McKenzie. Yeah, are we supposed to believe Tilk's all right now?
It is good to see you, O'Neill.
Yeah.
You too.
You appear to be well.
Well, forget appearances. The back's gone, the knee's shot. Forget curling.
I used to be a murdering psychopath, but I'm all right now.
Jack's knees. He's always had trouble with his knees, hasn't he?
Or his Kazakhs.
Welcome back.
You know, doesn't Frasier look like your typical sort of 90s completely full of himself psychologist?
Frasier? That's not Frasier.
No, I didn't say Frasier, did I?
Yes, you did.
Sorry. Mackenzie.
Mackenzie.
Being dead and all.
It was through the power of the sarcophagus that I was forced to again believe that Apophis was my god.
Sarcophagi will do that.
He does look a bit dated. He should be holding a pipe and a cardigan.
He looks a bit smug and self-satisfied.
Yeah, played by Eric Schneider. I think this is his last time we see him in SG-1, but he was in the original Children of the Gods.
Any relation to Jim? We're going to need a bigger boat and so on.
That's Roy.
That Apophis is a false god. That the Goa'uld are nothing more than parasites.
Yeah, that stuff.
I hope to one day restore your trust in me, O'Neill. And to return to your service, General Hammond.
Look at that. Look at the grin. Too much, Tilk. Too much.
Tilk doesn't grin.
No, he doesn't, no.
Well, not very frequently.
Only after he's told a joke that everybody else doesn't quite get, he gets that slight smirk on his face.
Oh, he laughed out loud when he told that joke about Jafar. Oh, there's the arched eyebrow. Okay, that's the Tilk we come to know.
Fooled him. But he goes out first.
Hello, old friend.
Master Bertak, it's been too long.
So it has. Your friends of Earth took great pains in bringing me here.
Braytag.
And here's Braytag.
Stab him now, Tilk. You won't get a better chance.
He is deceiving you.
Oh. Well, that ruse didn't last long, did it? Run, Forrest.
Really? I mean, how suicidal are those SOs?
Well, they're paid to God, so I suppose they have to make the effort. Nowhere to go, Tilk.
Thud.
So far.
Nice to see the Gzat gun actually working for once. Ooh, good sound effects.
Ho! doing?
If Chilk won't hear the truth in words, he must learn of it another way. The only way left to us.
Jack, what are you doing? What does it look like he's doing?
He's taking out the symbiote.
Little old Junior.
So, this episode directed by Peter and written by Heather E. Ash. Didn't you do an episode in season 4?
Don't know. I thought Brad Wright wrote this.
You know what? I'm looking at the wrong box.
Fair enough. Threshold was written by Brad Wright, directed by Peter DeLuise.
Amazingly, I actually picked up a box where the second episode listed was directed by Peter DeLuise.
What are the odds?
I've been 1 in 3, I think.
Yeah, at this stage, definitely. First July the 6th, 2001.
This pre or post dated DS9? Post, didn't it?
2001, yes, I think it was.
Because I'm thinking, did they get the idea for symbiote from the joined species in DS9? As in, for the Jaffa, because the Jaffa weren't in the movie. At least not in that format.
Master Braytak, before we proceed...
We waste time.
Please explain to me what it is you hope to achieve by depriving Teal'c of his symbiote.
I hope to save him.
How do you save him? By killing him?
Yeah, tough love.
If necessary.
See, I think we disagree on the meaning of the word save.
You would have him remain this way? Loving a false god, spitting and cursing?
Braytak's got a serious point here. Teal'c wouldn't want to live this way, so... Extreme measures.
You underestimate the hold Apophis has on Tilk's heart. In time, you will have little choice but to lock him away. But he is far too dangerous an enemy to have in your midst.
He's dealt with one problem. I mean, the symbiote's out of the picture for the time being, so that can't influence Teal'c. So all they've got to do now is the actual kind of deprogram Teal'c's own mind.
Yeah, but it's interesting how the level of influence the symbiote has seems to vary according to how it suits the plot.
A minor quibble.
His whole life passes before his eyes. We have a similar... what does that get us?
Through his fever and hallucination, he will relive his true path, buried beneath this lie.
You've done this before.
A minor... never mind. I've not got the energy to argue. I need food.
Won't be long.
Neither Jaffa had the strength to turn back from the precipice. But I am content they died free. Teal'c would ask for nothing more. I owe him that. Do you?
This actual story was supposed to be included in the premiere episode of Season 5, but ultimately it proved it was just too big.
Mm-hmm.
The use of the flashback allowed it to have its own standalone episode and make the most of Chris's acting ability and the money they had to spend.
He's in and out of consciousness. His temperature is rising, his BP is falling. Teal'c's immune system is failing. If we don't return his symbiote within the next few hours...
Do nothing.
I can't do that.
Braytak made his case. Hammond gave the go-ahead.
I see. Then I will take this up with him.
Do you count yourself among Teal'c's friends?
Of course.
Then stay. When the time comes, he may need your help to fight his way back to us.
Oh, this is a bottle episode with clips. Although clips, it's a clip show, but it's not a clip show because the clips you see aren't stuff that we've seen before, but it gives us Teal'c backstory.
Yes, it's a classic flashback episode, something that Joss Whedon shows tend to do very, very well.
Mm-hmm. What is the last show up to these days?
Doing the Avengers, isn't he?
Well, no, not Joss. Echo.
I've no idea.
Because I gave up on True Calling after about 5 episodes. Yes, I did actually last that long. Mostly because Shane sent it to me from Tasmania, so I felt obligated to watch it.
I am 100% sure. 99% sure Apophis is dead.
He has deceived you, O'Neill. As I have deceived you all these years, claiming to be in the service of the Tari.
That's some serious strapping.
Yes.
They really want to make sure that Teal'c doesn't get loose.
Hmm.
As you can see, Chris had done a bit of working out over the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Savvy.
You can take my life, but you can never take away my loyalty to my god. I die in his name. I die for you, my lord!
Enough.
Of course, when Janet's ethical issues with killing a patient to save him.
Mm-hmm.
In theory, how is that different to chopping a leg off to save a life? Or using drugs which can kill a patient, you know, radiation therapy and such forth. It's a risk.
Mm.
Remember. Remember, Tilk!
Oh, dear. This is not the...
the happy-go-lucky Tilk we've come to know and love.
Oh, yes, the cheerful, chatty, joking.
For years we fought side by side. In battle. In his name. My Lord Apophis.
My Lord Apophis, your enemy is defeated. You have won the day.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Flashback scene one in blue.
Yeah, but blue tint used for all the flashback episodes helps identify them.
For people that don't have two brain cells rubbed together.
You have done well and will know my gratitude.
You do me honor.
Well, they haven't changed much considering this was probably decades ago.
Well, no, because frankly the CG would have been a little difficult to pull off. De-aging is easy. De-aging is a little harder, as we saw in the recent Tron Legacy.
His name is Tilk, my lord. My apprentice. And with your blessing, my successor.
Isn't it fortunate? Poffers died last week, and oh look, Peter Williams has still got a job. Sci-fi, isn't it great?
6 Feet Under, for example, where the father dies in the first episode, and he still appears repeatedly through all 6 seasons.
My father was Ronak, first prime of Cronus, who was murdered for failing to win an unwinnable battle. My family was exiled to Chulak. He failed his god.
Yeah, you've got to qualify that statement, don't you, really?
He did not.
Shikri did.
My lord, I speak only the truth. The battle could not have been won. Father should have died trying. He was a coward. My lord, my father was not.
Yeah, you can't really try to justify his father's choices to the god. Oh, nice cut.
Well, when they were pouring the gold?
No, the scene changed. Tilk screaming in one and screaming in the other. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Christopher Judge had a few voice problems because he spent half his time screaming while strapped down.
Yeah, some people pay good money in Soho for that.
Well, he actually was in this episode's commentary and he said he did quite enjoy it.
That's rather worrying. A colleague of mine who has photos of his kids locked in the dog cage. Well, in the dog cage. I said, you realise if you leave them there, they might develop certain predilections? It was an odd discussion.
I don't think you want to leave photos around anywhere. Social services can get onto them. You can have lots of explaining to do.
They're on his iPhone, his work iPhone. After my boss got iPhones for himself and a couple of his mates and some of the directors, he decided it wouldn't look good from a public service perspective if people heard we were handing out iPhones.
Probably not. Come on, Janet. If people are in a coma, talk to them.
Yes.
All of you.
We do.
Whatever you need.
It's the subtle reprogramming where, you know, the patient is strapped to a chair and people just bombard him with logic and emotional reasons for not being in this court or another court.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, stay with him. Speak to him.
He won't be able to hear us unless...
Perhaps not in his mind. But in his heart. Even in silence, he will know of your presence. But your words will force him to remember. Challenge him when he does.
Tanya looks a little perplexed.
Yeah, I mean, why, as a point of interest, is the candles meant to recreate Calnari? I mean, all those candles in the medical bay, I can't be sure Janet's happy with that.
I wouldn't have thought so.
Maybe you could show Braytek to the VIP room?
Yes, sir.
I'd imagine it's just, you know, the atmosphere to make the soul feel at home. But of course,
mm-hmm.
Tilk, good or bad, it, you know, kind of counterproductive in one way. Just as likely to make evil Tilk feel comfortable. But it does look good.
Humans concern themselves too much with pain.
Yeah, we also don't approve of torture.
You're doing an angel and jealous thing on this.
It does kind of work, doesn't it?
Never occurred to me to think about it that way.
Stronger than I.
Oh, I don't know. You're the fittest 137-year-old I know.
Perhaps. But I'm nearing the end of my time. Kel'Noreen is more and more difficult. The symbiote I carry within will mature within 2 years.
Quite important in Braytek's journey. He's probably only got a couple of years to live. Interesting that he's telling this to Sam, who were dealing with the death of a father figure, a genuine father, a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we can find some way to help you.
Life for the sake of life means nothing.
Neither for me nor for Tilk. Do you understand?
I think I do.
Either he will return to us as we know him, or he will not return.
And Braytak's on the way out. Of course, Braytak's constantly saying that he's on the way out and he hasn't got long to live. And...
Ah, but he's actually giving us a timeline now.
We don't actually get to see the VIP room, though.
No.
You want to go first?
Sure.
Oh, that the...
Daniel feels a little awkward here.
The symbiote bubbling in the background. Pity it's not moving a bit.
Well, yeah, but that basically looks like a cheap rubber snake that they stuck some limbs on.
Yeah, that was one of the questions that Christopher asked. Why did we start using the CGI? Because it looked better. Yeah, the old one looked like a rubber snake, which it was.
So, explain this to me one more time. You honestly believe that from the moment you broke us out of that prison on Chulak, that you've been serving Apophis? Because I gotta tell you, as your best friend, at least in this whole wide world, that makes absolutely no sense at all. I mean, that would make you the most ineffective double agent in the history of double agenting.
Prod him a bit. At least know your words are getting through. What?
We're going into another flashback now?
Looks like it. A redressed engine room.
Warrior's asleep.
Duke. And as I said, all the bold actors in Vancouver.
Well, they may not have been bold beforehand.
Well, I don't think you shave all your head off just for an extras part in this show.
No, you strap on a ball cap with some spirit glue, and you make sure it's background and in focus.
Apophis' enemies. You fought well, Teal'c. None would deny that. But he is a god, and if you fail him, by sparing even one enemy's life that was yours for the taking...
This is Valar, played by David Lovegren, Canadian actor.
Any relation to Dolph?
No, Dolph isn't Canadian.
Yes, but never question that again.
Quiet!
Quiet, that was Peter DeLuise off camera. He didn't get to be on camera this episode, but he still got involved.
Well, he were directing. I think he was pretty heavily involved already.
Ah, but he does like to get on camera.
Yeah, the Hitchcock syndrome.
David Lovegren appeared in Smallville, Sonic, the recent sci-fi movie Stonehenge Apocalypse.
Valar. Is that what he said?
I thought he said velour.
Velour?
Velour.
The fabric?
That's what I heard him say.
Why would he say that?
I don't know. Why would he say velour?
I don't know.
Velour was my friend.
Velour. Good little conversation that is between I think Brad really does know how to write for these characters. Obviously, he knows how to write for these characters, being present at their creation, but...
Yes.
He gets the banter down real well.
Why am I restrained?
Well, you were sort of trying to kill everyone these past few weeks.
I could never have harmed you. The rise of Malcheron has been successful. Please release me.
Nice try, but no.
I am not your enemy. We are brothers, Daniel Jackson.
Tell us about Valar.
I have not heard that name in many years. I trained with him under Braytak. We served in the personal guard of Apophis. If you do not return my symbiote to me, I will die.
What happened to him?
No, Jack's not buying it.
Nice line coming up from O'Neill.
He failed his guard.
His god.
Yeah, little scamp tilt.
Why am I restrained?
Latest on our long list of dead bad guys?
Colonel, his heart rate just doubled.
Balzac!
That I understand.
Do you think I don't know what you're doing to me?
I mean, Tilk is quick on the uptake to fake it right from coming out of his unconsciousness.
You are allowing Braytak to kill me!
Where is he? Shova! Where are you?
BP is crashing. Let's start an IV.
Where are you, Shova?
Yeah, he couldn't keep up the goody-goody two-shoes out for long. Oh, look at the muscles on him. Hey.
Really? Because I don't.
Get the intent. If I was loose now, I'd be strangling you. I think he should be more tightly restrained, if you ask me.
Ooh. Ah, snow.
Real snow.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Damn, he must be cold.
Yes, the hardest nipples in Canada. None of this helmet and lightsaber business with this.
This is pointless. I am not blind.
In battle, you must use all your senses.
Of course, Peter realised that Christopher wouldn't have any real issues doing this scene because, again, it'd been working out.
Yes. But his face still looks jolly.
Without this.
Yes, he's a bit prideful, thinking he can take on Braytak, who's still pretty much in his prime himself.
The first prime of Apophis in a challenge.
I am the stronger.
In his first prime, in fact.
Yes. Nice.
And is that Braytak or a stunt double?
Well, when that was actually a stunt double, but even a stunt double when Teal'c fell to the ground.
There are no second chances in battle. You have ears to hear and eyes to see, but you will not learn. Shall I put us both out of our misery? The choice is mine. Who can stop me?
Yes, they had a bit of padding for Teal'c's back, but he was actually lying in the snow there. And you see Braytak's eyes are misting up because it's bloody cold.
He is a god.
Is he?
Braytak knew from quite a while back then.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In battle, Teal'c, faith will not save you. Blind faith least of all.
Well, you have complained before that we don't get backstory for anyone except Daniel because there wasn't much to fill in. But this entire episode was pretty much Teal'c backstory.
Yeah.
Your own wits. You are of no use to me.
That school cat must be called in as well.
Reminds me of Christmas Eve last year when I had to remove some PCs from one of our exhibition things in minus 12 without gloves. And PCs have metal cases. That were not fun.
You never left the service of Apophis is so completely illogical, almost to the point of making absolutely no sense whatsoever.
Do you not know the meaning of faith, then, Observer?
I think I do.
Then you should know that my faith in Apophis is beyond a question.
Still, if you remember me and you remember Jack, then you must remember at some point questioning your faith.
Never.
Daniel's turn to out-logic him. Where's Captain Kirk when you need him?
Dead, false god.
Your words cannot change the truth.
Well, they're not my words, Teal'c. They're yours. Of course, you were wrong at the time because he wasn't actually dead, but that's neither here nor there.
Lies!
The point is, there was a time in your life when you realized the Gould can't all be gods. Every symbiote a Jaffa carries will take a human host if given the chance and become a Gould. How can they all be gods?
And you don't want Teal'c to blow up in a massive logic, do we?
Or to disappear in a puff of logic because of the Babelfish.
Yes.
Belated happy tell day, everyone, since we're recording this on the 29th of May.
Braytak is my master.
Apophis is your god.
And by the time they hear it...
If I am ever to be first prime of Apophis, I must first honor Braytak.
You have seen the power of Apophis. You have seen his chariots rise from the ground, walk through the wall of water within the Chapa Eye.
As I have done.
Explain how a wall of light can leave his palm and throw a warrior across the square if he is not a god.
I cannot!
Ooh. Teal'c, 1950s sitcom style.
Yes. With beer, or yes, fermented goat's milk, or whatever the f*** it is.
We see Brooke Parker back playing Drayak, his missus.
What am I to do, Drayak?
Yes, nag, nag, nag. Nag, nag.
Yes.
He cannot explain it, but he just knows it's wrong.
And the womanly solution to everything.
Yes, I must take the husband's mind off this dilemma. What to do, what to do.
Okay. Fair enough. I'll think about that later.
Woman? Did he just call me a woman? Yes, I believe he did.
Still unconscious.
Character.
In and out. Obviously delirious.
That's not a good blood pressure. They're like at 165 over 78.
I don't really know what's good or bad.
How's Junior doing? The symbiote is fine for now, although I don't know what we're going to do with it if we let Teal'c die. But won't be my problem. I'll have already resigned if we let this go that far.
Look, Janet, I know how you feel, but...
No. I'm a doctor, Sam. This goes against every part of me to just stand by and do nothing.
I don't think that we're doing nothing.
According to the little medical aid at work, I'm okay, so that's fair enough. And by little medical, it was so little, I don't know why they bothered. Mm-hmm. I like the little bubbling. Bubble, bubble. Nice little added effect. Just give it a bit more atmosphere.
Is it working? Has he said anything?
He talked about fabric briefly. He just called me a woman. So I think it's working.
Jack won't let go of things, will he, at times?
Velour. You think there's any of Jack in Zapranigan?
Well, it looks like we're in for the whole night. We should probably take turns sitting with him.
Could be. I think there's a little bit more Kirk in Zach.
Oh, there's a lot of Kirk.
You go after me, then I think we'll all want to be here.
Yeah, because by that time he'll be dead. Unusual to see Tilk sweating so much.
Yes.
Without the symbiote to regulate his body temperature.
Hey, Tilk. Look, I don't know how good I'm going to be at this, but I guess the important thing is just to be there for you.
Major Carter. How can you allow them to do this to me?
Tilk.
I have no wish to die, Major Carter. You and Dr. Fraser could yet save me.
You're not gonna die.
I am being murdered as we speak.
We're helping you.
Help me escape. Please.
Mm-hmm. Oil me up, woman.
I've never seen anything that attractive about oiled women, frankly. To me, it'd be like, I don't know, they're trying to make love to a chip.
If you were punished for loving your god as I love mine...
It's not the same.
I can't help what I believe.
You believe in freedom, Teal'c. You believe in justice, in protecting people from false gods. You despise everything Apophis was.
He failed his god...
Ah, so now he's working his mojo on Sam.
Does he even have mojo?
I'm sure he does.
Is it in a jar somewhere?
Well, let's face it, he's married. He were knocking off a high priestess.
Well, he were married.
Well, be fair, it was before he was married, so...
Privileges of rank, possibly?
He thinks Sam's probably an easier touch than Jack or Daniel.
He doesn't know Sam.
The battle did not go well. Ross warriors were in far greater numbers than we believed.
You were given a battalion.
Ross sent his gliders down upon us. We were flanked, bombarded from the sky. There was no choice but to retreat.
Shakrivalar.
It was the only way to save my men.
And yourself.
No! I intend to return, and with greater numbers, I will drive Ra's warriors from their foothold. Please, tell him I am no coward. And if given the chance, I will yet prevail. I swear it.
Go to our sleeping quarters. Wait for me there.
Teok. Would have profited no one merely to fight and die.
You may yet wish you had.
Yeah, it isn't really going to work. She's been exposed to the gold just as much as he has.
Mm-hmm. Sam, exposed.
My lord, we are at your service.
Who did you entrust with this campaign?
Valar of Chula. A promising warrior.
Yet he has returned in disgrace.
Looking at Apophis here, it looks very much like he was a younger system lord. He's in battle gear, and compared to the Apophis we saw in Children of the Gods, where he'd established himself and he was a bit more luxuriant.
And they look like beetles.
Scarabs, yeah.
Valar himself would like to lead the second wave. Does he?
My lord, allow me to.
You would have done the same in his place, would you, Tilk?
No, my lord.
You would have held your ground in the name of your god.
Yes, my lord.
Ooh, good answer, Tilk. You didn't win and you're still alive. That's not a good thing when you serve Apophis.
Now he's Crowfeed.
Tilk's trying to defend him.
Mm-hmm.
That's manipulating an officer, mm-hmm. Something a sergeant learns to do very quickly. Now, that's one of the problems with being a foot soldier for Apophis. He really doesn't appreciate individual mm-hmm. thought and...
No.
Tilk knows what's going to happen. He's really pretty much had the Apophis chat when it comes to retreating.
Mm-hmm.
Nice shot.
I have a gas joint, I think.
But I assume it's the planet they're attacking.
That neck thing looks very uncomfortable on Apophis.
It does, doesn't it? His chin's just kind of catching it. Again, but I suppose, you know, it's very much battle armour. They've made this ship look different, though. Different enough.
Mm-hmm.
Lighting makes a huge difference, of course, but...
It's all about the lighting.
Jafar! Oh, dear.
What's that wrist thing? Is it a weapon?
Oh, on the left wrist?
Yeah.
It's where they keep the Zat gun.
He's not within the rings properly.
No, I'd step back if I were you. Or not.
Yes.
He's probably dead either way, but it'd be less messy if you step back a bit. Very much the public face of an execution, but without actually being seen in public.
Yes.
Very much the public face of an execution, but without actually being seen in public.
Yes.
Very nice matte painting there by Jeremy Ewing.
Take solace for what you're
with moving flames and everything.
In conjunction with Rainmaker Studios.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. Nice scene, though, nice.
Yeah, well, doesn't he zap Tio and run?
Because he doesn't want to escape. He actually believes what he did was right. He will die for his god.
Please tell Apophis I died well, honouring his name.
Unlike Tilk, I mean, Tilk is having doubts already, but Velar doesn't. I mean, if you gave him a knife himself, he'd probably kill himself.
Mm-hmm. Tilk's definitely starting to doubt things.
Rise.
He's confused now.
Yes, why am I still alive? Ah.
Oh, he's going to stab me instead.
You're going to knife me. He's probably thinking, I thought Tilk were my friend. That's why. Tilk's probably fortunate that Velar didn't lunge for him and try to kill him for betraying his god.
Or lunge for him and try and impale himself in the knife.
Yeah, I don't deserve to live.
Well, it's bad.
In fact, that's probably a mistake in the story, Velar not posing Tilk at this point.
Do not allow yourself to be captured by either side.
Tilk, you cannot do this. Even from me, he will know.
We shall see.
I am more willing to face my punishment than to live knowing what Apophis will do to you. For your sake, you must.
Go now and never show your face again.
He is a god, Duke. Know that you have spared me.
We shall see.
Technically, if Velar was as true a servant of the god as he claims to be, he'd zap Teok, take his staff weapon, kill him, and then go back up.
Yeah.
He failed to kill me, Lord. He was not worthy of you.
Yeah, you could argue that his friendship with Tilk is overpowering his own ethics. He thinks that Apophis will know what Tilk has done and Tilk will be punished for it. But of course, that's a question. Will the all-knowing, all-seeing God see through Tilk's ruse? A Jafar of Ra, as we see from the tattoo?
Just leave that there so nobody nicks it.
As Peter said, they couldn't have have Tilk killing one of his own. It had to be an enemy soldier.
Well, that enemy soldier was already dead, wasn't he?
Well, his symbiote wasn't. Nice shot. The camera's swinging round. Ooh. That's all the proof Apophis needs. Yes.
Ooh.
You have promised, Tilk.
Big light bulb going off there.
Ding, 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 ding.
How did that work?
Well, guard might be cold standing outside it, Derek.
You didn't stay away long.
No, they do, selling tickets to it. And can you see the candles there?
You should talk. You can go in there, you know. I know.
Reflected, yes.
PD.
Sorry?
Peter DeLuise.
Oh.
Yes.
Yes.
I'd never noticed them until I listened to the commentary.
You're arrogant little...
And Chris was saying he spent all his time on the bed trying not to laugh because he said everybody that's seen that will know what they are.
Tilk will be sent to a high security facility and placed in solitary confinement. When his symbiote matures in 4 or 5 years... I won't do that to him, Jack.
Oh, that's a bit disturbing, isn't it? Does the General seriously believe that the NID won't get their hands on Tilk?
Mm-hmm.
He would literally be better off dead for the sake of their friendship.
Indeed not.
Give them the symbiote, let them experiment on that.
Let's go back to flashback. Come on. Jack's whispering quietly.
There must be a flashback. Oh, there we go. Oh, the night terrors.
Homer.
Something on your conscience, Tilk? Don't wash the tattoo off. Don't wash... No. Oh, God, it didn't come off.
What is wrong, Tilk? Makeup.
I wonder why it didn't come off.
To be 3 days ago, I led a battalion to retake a planet that had been occupied by Ra's army. Apophis ordered me to burn a village of Ra's followers to the ground.
And if it didn't come off with a simple splash of water, how hard was it to actually remove?
Yes. We put it on with permanent marker, Christopher. You did what?
How can I do Hamlet now?
Yes. We're going to put the gold one on the next scene, don't worry. And then when we pull the adhesive off, it'll come off. No worries. It may take a bit of skin with it, but...
Yeah, maybe some bone. Maybe I'll see your brain slushing and sloshing around.
Women and children who live there. But Jafar lived there also. A warrior named Valar.
No.
I banished him to that village to save his life. Only to take it away for fear that Apophis would learn my secret. I put my own life before that of an entire village and that of a dear friend.
No, you had no choice.
I did have a choice.
Christopher was told basically to do nothing for this scene because the audience are with you. They know exactly what you're thinking and what you're going through. Mm-hmm. And the over-the-top reactions will kind of lose the effect. Peter was right. You can see everything that Teal'c is going through, just the flicker in his eyelashes.
Yeah.
Our son will be born into a real home. A gift from Apophis himself. It is the best life we can hope for.
Then why am I so ashamed?
Christopher, stop making that noise when you're between your wife's breasts. Teal'c just happily, well, not perhaps happily, but slaughtered a couple of hundred villagers for his god and realises the position that Braytak has been in all this time. He knows what he's doing is wrong, but he knows that some things have to happen. That's the only way he'll save somebody else.
Take my day! Master Braytak! Take my day!
How old are you, Teal'c?
12! Well, I suppose in terms of percentage of lifetime, he can expect he's still an adolescent.
I don't think so, because he's the symbol of the First Prime now.
There's no greater honour among Jafar than to become First Prime to one's god.
You know as well as I what the Goa'uld truly are. We pretend men like you and I, so we may advance in rank and privilege. But do not pretend to me now. You know the truth. Can you look me in the face and say otherwise?
My entire life you have prepared me for this day. Why?
And this is where Braytak gives him the whole story. Again, close-ups.
Mm-hmm.
When you've got a face like Tony, you know, you really do want the close-ups. It's full of character. 100 years of battles and conflict, external and internal.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
The Goa'uld are powerful. They have seen to it that we cannot live without them, and so it may be for all time. But neither can they live without the Jafar.
Indeed not.
We are their true power.
I do not understand.
You will, Teal'c. Give it time.
As First Prime, that power will be yours. When Apophis throws his armies into the fire, you will be there to temper his sword. In so doing, you may save countless lives, as I have done in my time.
And you have done all these things against his will?
His will can be made to bend.
Yes, great wisdom from Apophis. I get the impression there's going to be a lot of sound clips in this audio. I don't know if it's the fact that I'm not very awake or the fact that this episode, although it's important backstory, it's mostly chat, 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 chat. It's easier to comment on action.
Yeah. Some of the speeches they give are fantastic. I mean, this whole speech is one you want to listen to because it's important.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Teal'c has already started down the path that will ultimately bring him to being a Shovar, this is where it kind of gets underlined.
Yeah, because I remember the first time I saw this, I was like, ooh, right. So it wasn't all Jack.
No.
But you get the impression, sure, of the gods that it was.
Oh, yeah. On that day, Teal'c got out of bed and felt like becoming a traitor.
Ah, the castle.
Yes, we've seen that before.
Yes, we have. Is this an actual clip?
Yes, it's a bit of old footage.
Oh, well, no, Braytak wasn't in the original.
This may be one reason why they changed the colour tone a bit. It matches up with the old footage.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the humans who came through the Chabai. They do not appear to be as formidable as I imagined.
Their weapons are not of Goa'uld design.
That may be so, too. But they are only three.
There's something more.
And here we see doubts, which we only became aware of like four seasons ago.
Well, this is probably where Braytak didn't get much respect for humans in the beginning. He wasn't that impressed.
Perhaps so.
Frey, they are not chosen as hosts. That is the best fate you can wish for them.
Of course, Tilk's seen at least one of the human Earth soldiers, you know, the female, fighting for her life. And so he's probably got a greater insight to humans than Braytak has.
What have I done?
Oops.
It doesn't look good.
Get the cart.
You should have it ready. We're not about to get the cart.
Braytak down here.
And there's the nurse, Karen Van Blankenstein. That's one hell of a name, that is.
Van Plankenstein?
Blankenstein.
It's very Frankensteinish.
It is. It's a great name.
That's her actual name?
Yes. She was a nurse in 4 episodes of SG-1, but also medical advisor for this and other shows.
So she was an actual nurse?
Yes, and frequently had arguments. She kept pointing out, that's not how they do it. Well, we can't put an oxygen mask on his face and tubes up his nose because that would ruin the shot. So just keep taking the checks and...
Choose, of course. Nice interspersion with Braytak shouting choose and...
Yes.
The choice.
Or die in the name of a false god.
Choose!
These few little flashbacks makes you realise how good Children of the Gods looked.
Mm-hmm.
Wold. Oh, scorer.
We are now. Go!
Choose to be the warrior we know. Renounce Apophis and return to us.
It's now or never.
Choose!
Yes, one last look. Slap him. No, doesn't look good. Shouting at the dead man doesn't work.
Braytak has brown eyes.
How many beats can we have before Tilk comes back?
Very well.
Let's move.
Do the rest.
Symbiote soon. No change. We waited too long. Charge to 200. Charging.
Again, that's a bit wasteful, isn't it, really? Yeah. Wouldn't it be funny if they actually did zap him?
Well, as I've pointed out to you, if he's flatlined, that won't bloody work. Actually, Adriana gave it to me with that. She said she can't watch medical dramas properly anymore. Thanks to what I pointed out in this show. The listeners do actually listen.
Shocker.
Help me! Many have said that. But you are the first I believe could do it!
That must be a supercharged first prime staff weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, lots of clips. Faster.
I choose freedom.
He's back! Is it Tilk? Is it not Tilk? Look into my eyes. Which is literally what he's doing. Serious though, how much suspense is there in this episode?
Not as much suspense as there is in the episode of BSG I'm going to watch this evening.
The right has succeeded. He has returned to us.
Out of curiosity, how do you feel about...
Apophis is a false god. A dead false god.
Yeah, Jack needs a little more reassurance.
Yes. He sounds weak.
But yeah, he has been through a lot. Forget the fact that he's been without a symbiote for a couple of days.
It's good enough for me. Get him out of those restraints.
Thank you, Doctor. Well done.
Yes, sir. I'm glad it worked out, too.
She's going to write such a report about this.
Which nobody will ever read because it'll be heavily classified. Well, there was blank and blank, and we blanked the blank in order to blank and make sure the blank, blank, blank.
Yeah, I objected them blank, but they ignored me blank. Blank, blank, sodding blank.
General Abbott, I once again pledge my allegiance to you and the people of this world.
I believe the correct term is redacted.
And I request permission to return to SG-1.
Sniff.
Permission granted.
I wonder how many times General said that throughout the series. Nice little fade to black. Happy ending. Now that's the way to do a flashback clip episode. New content, for the most part, and done exceptionally well.
That's our 89th episode. Is it the 89th episode of Stargate?
Yeah, I don't know. You keep track of these things. I don't.
No, I'm just wondering. We're going to hit 100 in this season.
Yes, we will.
Anyway, that were Threshold. Not really much to say, more sort of sit there and watch the speeches kind of thing. So sorry if we've not said much, or presumably that whenever we finish making this faintly coherent.
Like I said, it's just some great dialogue. Brad really did a number on it. I mean, as a standalone episode, and as, in effect, a second part to the season premiere, it worked very, very well. In fact, that's probably the best Teal'c episode so far.
Hmm. Clearly Teal'c-centric. I mean, everyone else is just a minor character.
Oh, yeah, the rest of them were just cheerleaders. Come back to us, Teal'c, come back.
So, if we have, on the subject of coming back to us, if anyone has come back to us with email...
Just say the word.
Open the iris.
Right, we've got to read a bit of the Facebook, because the last episode actually got quite a few comments, not directly.
Ooh, six.
Yeah.
Okay, on Facebook, we have Miles McLaughlin. I'm into episode 50-something, still got some catching up to do. To which you replied.
Yeah, closing fast. It's quite daunting how long it'll take one episode a week.
Thomas, I remember those days it took time only being able to listen to and from work. And then my Adriana. Those days went all that long for me, less than a month. And once I started walking every day, the rate of Gaycast consumption went up. These days I wait eagerly for each week's podcast. In the meantime, she gets her own personal podcast from me.
Nah, I want to personally apologise to CHB Library Central Hawke's Bay. It's actually... I really do need to know how to pronounce your name. Is it Nay? Nway? In fact, I probably tweeted to actually how do you pronounce it.
I think it could be Engay.
Engay.
Or it could be wrong.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah. Good episode. Thanks, guys. Some great Jack one-liners. There was indeed, yeah. An update. I tweeted. I believe it's pronounced Nye. Nye Deckard. And if I'm still wrong, I do apologise.
And Thomas, again, great episode, guys. Just finished it. Good three-part episode and great season opener. Can't wait for the third part next week. What?
Well, yeah. Season 4 finale, season 5 premiere, then Threshold.
Oh, yeah.
Which is pretty much following on, really, a three-parter. Miles just joined the Gatecast this past week or so. Actually the host of the Sci-Fi Diner, one of the podcast promos we play every now and again. He's actually watching Stargate for the first time. And he says he's going through it like nobody's business.
As fast as Adriana went through Alaska?
Pretty much, yeah.
10 episodes in one day.
Ooh, ouch. To continue, Jennifer says, Hi, been listening to you guys for a while now. I love the fact that you guys actually play the sound from the app as you discuss it. Not too many podcasts do that. Makes me feel like I'm actually watching along with you, even if I can't, when I'm at work. But you guys really should have a girl along with you to get a female perspective, because I've watched SG-1 since the beginning, and I am a Daniel fan. Thanks, Jennifer. And in that regard, Adriana will be joining us for at least one episode this season. And if schedules allow, you are more than welcome to on Skype, especially when it's one of your favourite episodes. It's tricky coordinating recording sessions, even between Alan and myself at times. But adding a third to the mix is not impossible. Jennifer replies, that's entirely understandable, and I would absolutely love to do that someday. And I'm ashamed to say I still have to figure out how to use Skype. Laugh out loud. Stephen and Daniel, I replied, were both new to Skype when they came onto the show. And I'd never used it or Google Voice, the app we used early on, before Alan got me involved on the cast. He asked, I volunteered, so no arm twisting involved. Adriana replies, I am so looking forward to being on the podcast. Speaking of, we need to figure out which episode that's going to be. Ryan Smith posted, I always enjoy listening to your podcast. You guys always make me laugh. I replied, I know we both have fun doing a mild MST3K on our favourite show. And if that comes across, then that's great, although the quite heavy editing can take some of the spontaneity out of the cast. Daniel actually replies, Hey Ryan, do you like my episodes? In brackets, I'm so needy, I need help, close brackets. Ryan replies, Yes I do. You guys bring comedy to Stargate. When will you guys be doing SGA podcasts? I reply, as Alan would and has said, Good Daniel. Nice Daniel. Sit. SGA will be covered as Sci-Fi Edit, so come season 8 of SG-1, we will probably alternate between the shows. That's over a year away, so plans may change. Ryan, epic, can't wait. Miles actually says on the 14th of June, I'm in a fortunate position. I've got 7 more seasons of SG-1, 5 seasons of SG Atlantis, plus the movies. Plus Scott and I will meet Chris Judge at Shore Leave next month. Hopefully we'll get to interview him.
Yeah, I was jealous.
Quick shout out to Scott, Luke and Stephen, who have also contributed to the Facebook site. There's probably a few more that have joined recently. I can't remember actually all the names, but if any of them actually want to shout out, post something onto the Gatecast website or the Facebook page.
Or pretty much anywhere else.
Yep. As always, any feedback we get, we'll endeavour to always include it.
Indeed.
And that is the feedback for this week. Many thanks.
Next week's episode is entitled Ascension. While investigating an alien device, Carter is found unconscious. Resting from suspected exhaustion, she is visited by an invisible being who holds vital secrets to the device and the catastrophe it may cause. If the being's invisible, how does she know it's there?
The blurb on my box set is virtually word for word except for the last sentence. They're getting really lazy.
Maybe they stopped trying to rip you off with 6 volume sets and went back to 5. Because they did that for a first couple of seasons, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. We've got 1 episode spare. Can we fit it on? Yes. Should we fit it on? No. Put on out another set. The fool will buy them.
Well, I know they re-released them with a magazine, didn't they? There was an SG magazine with background stuff and DVD on each.
I don't know, to be honest.
I think that's how my friend's sister got them.
Yeah.
And where I got season 6, 7, and 8.
On the next Stargate SG-1.
I'm from the planet you just visited.
A close encounter.
Oh my God.
An out-of-body experience.
No one has seen what you've seen. And until that happens, we're all going to think you're nuts.
A mystery the Pentagon vows to expose.
Would you like to tell us what's going on, Major?
She doesn't have to tell you squat.
Because their secret project is in jeopardy.
I go to Valona and stop your people from using the weapon.
Coming in.
Thanks to an alien's mission of mercy.
If we disconnect the reactor now, it will explode.
That could trigger untold destruction.
We gotta get out of here.
We can't dial out.
Richard Dean Anderson stars on the next Stargate SG-1.
I say, I want to watch a series this summer. I'm not sure which. I'd like it to be Smallville, but that's 10 seasons, so that's a lot. So it could be BSG.
Which is only 4.
Yeah, I've nearly finished. I should finish all my DVD ripping tomorrow. So that means my laptop will be free to watch Deadwood.
I only have season 1 of Deadwood. I quite like season 2.
Yeah, well, I bought the box set from America, and it's Region A. So I've got to play it on my laptop on my PC.
Oh, there were tweets.
Were there?
Just got up to go sandbag. Hope recording is going well. And, okay, not funny. Stop with the rain, please. That's from Splatterson. So not really relevant to the episode.
I watched about the recent tornado outbreak in the US.
Mm-hmm.
They went through a lot in the space of half a day or so.
I saw the tweets from Janitor Bob, you know, hiding in the basement and stuff, which is difficult because he's in a second floor apartment.
Oh, one woman said she's in the basement of her ass. The whole house lifted off its foundations and she says, it's over there now. And the house was kind of just smashed on the ground like the Wizard of Oz house, you know. She's standing in the foundations and the whole bloody house has moved. And, you know,
there's no place like home.
You watch something like Storm Chasers, you know, and the tornadoes are kind of spaced apart as they put in all the travelling and all the background information. I mean, this was an hour programme which were pretty much wall-to-wall home footage and interviews.
Okay, Play won £40 for Dollhouse.
Ouch.
On Blu-ray. Or €50, which does not reflect the actual exchange rate. It's nowhere near that. Amazon. No, I'm not buying a bloody Kindle. Stop trying to persuade me. See, it's not like Play has free delivery. They just bill the charging. Then again, same price on Amazon.
That's the season 1 and 2 box set.
Yep, $39.99 new. Yeah, I'll probably find it. Oh, I'll go to that place you directed me to before where I got my PSG.
Which was that, Zavi?
That was Zavi, formerly Virgin.
Well, Basecom have it for £33, but I have no idea what their shipping is. It's probably one of them releases that every now and again, it'll just, you know, get 50% off it and come down to something like £20 and then be there for a day, then go back up again. You know, this is what you want, you know, something like Hulu over here.
All I've got is RTE iPlayer, which, although it pops up as... Does iPlayer pop up as an option on your PS3?
iPlayer, yes.
Yeah, because the RTE player pops up as an option on mine, even though I never accepted the update. But when I go to play, it plays the ad. It only plays audio on the program. It doesn't show video.
Oh, I love that. You go to an online streaming bit and you watch the advert and then it comes up, oh, you're in the wrong region to watch this content.
But we can still show you the ad.
Yeah, I love it.
Hi, folks, and thanks for listening, downloading, etc., etc., etc. If you need to email us, the email address is gatecastpodcast@gmail.com. If you need to find the podcast, somebody gave it to you, you got it through an online subscription, we're on iTunes as Gatecast. We're also listed on Podcast Alley and Podcast Pickle. If you want to leave feedback, you can record an MP3 and email it to gatecastpodcast@gmail.com. You can also leave us feedback on the website, that's gatecast.phasecast.com. There is the Facebook group, which is The Gatecast. And finally, you can also tweet us, we're The Gatecast on Twitter as well.
Anyway, to wrap, thanks for downloading, thanks for listening, and as always, any and all feedback is accepted and welcomed.
Yes, folks, that was Threshold, next week Ascension. Take care, and we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Gatecast, presented by Alan, Mike and Scott. Visit us at gatecast.facecast.com.